Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord God. Father, I just humble my heart to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, your will is just our very design. The thing we wake up to do is your will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give glory unto your name, Lord God. This is our desire and our hope that you would just bless us with this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we decrease, all of us, even those that are listening to the sound of my voice, increase in us to fill us with this word as we speak about your glory and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. We are in Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through verse 9. It's a short chapter. And this is a Psalms of the Lord. And if you look online, you could actually hear the song. You could actually hear the song. But because of teaching, I need to get to this. I don't need to be trying to sing the tall song, too. So the scripture says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, we're talking about the very character that David sees of the Lord. And so you have to break this down. You just, when reading it and trying to get through it, you can pass by it. But you got to go every jot, every tittle, every piece of the word. This is how you don't get confused and let what you feel about the word enter in. When you take it line upon line, precept on precept, which the Bible teaches, that is the way we're supposed to study the word, and that is the way we're supposed to teach the word. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that, and that's why we miss it. So it says, O Lord, our Lord. Number one, he's making the proclamation. He's hollering, O Lord. But then he's saying, he's making the proclamation, our Lord, O Lord, our Lord. He's hollering, O Lord, but he's calling him our Lord. So he's letting you know his position. This is not somebody he doesn't know. This is not somebody he doesn't understand who he's talking to. This is not somebody who is just going to the left or going to the right that he's trying to worship or give glory to. This is not somebody he has just discovered. This is somebody who has made the proclamation, O Lord, our Lord. So he's not just talking for himself. He's talking to all those that believe this Lord. All those that are pointing the finger towards his God. He's not talking to the ones who don't believe God. He is not talking about for the people that worship money. He's not talking about for the people who worship themselves. He's not talking to those people. He's talking to all those that can agree with the first terminology that he's saying, the first declaration he makes, making, O Lord, our Lord. See? So he's talking to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believe in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's talking to that God, the same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's talking to that God. He's talking to the God that parted the Red Sea for Moses. He's talking to that God. He's talking to the God, the creator of all of heaven and all of earth. He's acknowledging, O Lord, our Lord. Now, the reason why he's saying, O Lord, is because he has something to say. He's saying, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There's no other name greater than the name of Jesus. There's no other name greater than this God that he is speaking to. There is none greater. There is no greater name higher. And that ought to solidify the faith of those who believe. But unfortunately, because they don't dig into that, it doesn't. That ought to like drive the nail right in the coffin right there. He is our Lord. And it says, how excellent is thy name above all the earth. The name, his name is so powerful, it's so great, it is so mighty that it is above the earth and everything in the earth. So his name is bigger than cancer. His name is bigger than lies. His name is bigger than manipulation. His name is bigger than whoremongering. His name is bigger than every man's name. His name is bigger than the president, than the prime minister. His name is bigger than anything or everything that you could even think or ask. So he knows who he's going to. in that statement, he's making a great proclamation. I understand who I'm talking to. I'm just not stabbing at straws. I understand exactly who I'm talking to, and I understand that your name is great in all the earth. Your name is far above anything we can think, anything that we can ask, anything that we can reach for. His name is greater. And that's what makes it work. He has acknowledged who God is. See, his name is great. Then he says, who has set thy glory above the heavens? So God has set his glory above the heavens. He set it way above the heavens. If you would turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43, and I'm sorry I didn't get you guys ahead of the time, but Isaiah is right after Proverbs, right after Ecclesiastes. And you go to chapter 43, it's on the direction towards Revelation. And I didn't direct you guys to that beforehand like I usually do, so I apologize. 43:7, and what the scripture says is, let me let everybody get it. Say amen when you have it. Amen. 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 7 says, even everyone that is called by thy name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So God, he made proclamations before that, but I don't want to get into those. I want to specifically target this. He says, even everyone that is called by my name. So are you called a Christian? You're called by his name. Are you called godly? You're called by his name. Are you called holy? You're called by his name. This name is attached only to one God, not 17, 18 gods, only to one. Only to one. There is none other above his name. It's all right. There's none other above him. There is none other above his name. And we have to acknowledge his name is great. But look at what he said. For I have created him for my glory. So he has created man for his glory. Is he trying to outpreach me? He has created, that's my guy, that's my grandson, y'all. He's sitting in. Amen. He has created him for his glory. He has created all of mankind for one purpose and one purpose only. His glory. Amen. We weren't created for anything else. We weren't created for our glory. We weren't created for our divinity. We weren't created for us. We weren't created for our wives. Wives, you were not created for your husband. You were created with a purpose in mind. The very blueprint plan that allowed you to become who you are is God created you to give him glory. So when we turn back to Psalms and it says, in the second part of 1, who has set thy glory above the heavens? The glory that you give God goes far above the heavens. It goes far before, above the heavens of this earth. It goes into his very throne room. When you're giving God glory, when you're doing what's right by God, when you're doing what's right in his sight, when you're giving people a pass, even though they don't deserve a pass, when you're loving on them, even though they don't deserve it, you know, because God called us to love the unlovable. When you do these things, you're giving God glory. And that glory goes far above the earth, far above the heavens, into God's very throne room, because he receives that glory from you. And I'm trying to paint the picture so that we can understand when we give God praise that is due him. That's something that's owed him. But when you give him glory, you have a choice in that. See, you don't have to choose. You were created to give him glory, but you have the freedom of moral choice. You don't have to choose to give him glory. So how much more is it when we give him glory because we have chosen to give him glory? You could always go the other way and glorify yourself. You could always go the other way and glorify something else. You could always go the other way and glorify money like people do. You could always go the other way and glorify people and put everything above God. But when you give him glory, that glory transcends the earth. It transcends the heavens. It goes straight into God's throne room. And we need to understand that when we do good, God sees it. You don't have to pat yourself on the back. God, you ain't got to pat nobody else's on the back. But it's a good thing to tell somebody when they did good. Don't get it twisted. You hear what I'm saying? But the glory goes straight to the throne room of God. I need you to get the picture of that. Because when you don't have the picture of that, then the rest of the scripture just kind of falls on deaf ear. So now, let's get to it. In 2 it says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Thou hast, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So, look, he's saying, out of the mouth of babes and out of the mouth of sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Now, let me ask you a question, because I grapple with this. This is another one of them scriptures that when it was spoken, I didn't quite understand it from the reading. So I grappled with this. What strength does a baby have? What strength does a suckling have? Somebody that is still sucking on the mom's tit. What strength does that baby have? A baby only has one strength. It is humble. It cannot reach out for itself. It's not full of pride. It's not full of arrogance. The baby is not full of self-righteousness. The baby knows it needs. And when you give, that need is supplied. But it is dependent in humility on the parent or on the one that has charge over thee. So that creates a great humbleness, doesn't it? So in humility, when we go to Matthew 18:3, that's the red letters. 18:3-4, my apologies for not telling you guys ahead of time again, because I usually let you know. But I want you to see what God sees and how he sees this childish humility, how we humble ourselves, how he sees this and how he gets this. And I'm just going to read, because you'll catch up for those of you that's listening. It says, let me go up to 18:1 and read through. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So unless you be converted, unless you get saved and follow the things of God and become as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you went by that terminology, there's a lot of people who walk around calling themselves Jesus who aren't entering in, because we don't even know what it is to be saved. We don't even know what it is to be sanctified. You must humble yourself to the word of God, but I'll get to that in a minute. It says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself and for as a little child, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom. So he deals with first things first. You can't even enter in until you first get converted and then become as a little child. And then once you're as a little child, you'll be called great in the kingdom. By what? By might? No. By humility. Because humility gives you strength. It gives you strength in God. Remember the scripture says, Jesus said, in our weakness, he is made strong. Or Paul said, in our weakness, he is made strong. Because of humility. When you humble yourself as a little child, the power of God, the anointing of God, the kingdom of God comes straight down. And now you're operating out of kingdom means instead of earthly means. People don't know how to get there because they will not humble themselves. That means pride's got to get out of the way. Self-righteousness has got to get out of the way. Arrogance has got to go to the side. But these are the things that we often do. We are so caught up in pride, arrogance that we will not take the time to spend time with God. Well, then how do you know if you're following the right way? If you're not reading His Word and developing a relationship with His Word so that you can know what it is. Now, it's good to develop the relationship with the pastor. It's good to develop the relationship with other people. But your relationship that enters you into heaven has nothing to do with that other individual, because when they die, guess what? They die alone. You can't go hand in hand to heaven. You have to go on your own merit. You must develop a relationship with this Word. It is only the Word of God that is going to sanctify you. We did that last week. It is only the Word of God that is going to separate you. It is only the Word of God that is the truth. And you've got to get into that in order to get into the kingdom. The Word of God is what converts you to the place where you can enter in. And then if you humble yourself too as a little child, man, you got it going on then. Amen. So going back to Psalms, he says, Psalms 8:2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger, so that you might have a chance to steal, to stop the enemy and the avenger. You need childlike strength. So childlike strength is what gives you the power to overcome the enemies of this world. Childlike strength is what gives you power to overcome the adversary. Childlike strength is what gives you power to overcome the avenger. And if you're not operating in childlike strength, which is humility, then you're not overcoming anything. You may get over a situation, but guess what? Isn't it amazing that people who follow God, the same situation keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back? Why? Because once God is done with a situation, He's done with it. You have moved on to the next phase. That means we have not used the tools of God. We have not used the strength of humility to get past this. And it keeps coming back over and over and over and over and over again. Like I said last week, taking two steps forward and two steps back. That's not walking in God. That's the cha-cha. I keep saying that because I want that to stick. I'm saying that just about every message because I need that to stick. You don't need to take two steps forward and two steps back. Going forward and getting over the hurdle and keep going forward and getting over the hurdle and keep going forward and getting over the hurdle is what we need to do. That needs to become the practice for the Christian. Now, after having said that, how is that possible, Pastor Mills? I'm so glad you asked me. Because when you get into the Word of God, it's the Word of God that helps guide you. It is the Word of God that leads you to all spiritual things. It is the Word of God that activates the Spirit of Truth to guide you. Not the spirit of man, not the spirit of a preacher, not the spirit of your mama, not the spirit of your daddy, not the spirit of none of that. It is the Word of God that activates you into spiritual things. If you are not getting the Word of God and you're trusting in a man to give it to you, then you set yourself up for a fall. You have to be reading this, because what happens if the man slips, or if he's at one of them places where he's over the hurdle and he's speaking out of his heart or out of his flesh and not out of God, and he's telling you some things, then guess what? He's just planted that in you. You have to be very careful. You need to hear the Word of God and check everything that the Word of God is saying. You need to do it. I'm telling you. All the time. That needs to be a practice. After you leave church, you don't need to just leave it alone. You need to go back into your Bible and read that same scripture that the pastor spoke about, that I'm telling you about. And you need to go over it, every jot and every tittle, and see what it is saying to you. Making sure that what I'm telling you is in line with what's going on. You need to check that. People don't check that. We just believe the pastor because all of a sudden we're such in a big busy or so caught up in this time frame in this world that we're too busy to spend time with God, when it needs to be the opposite. You need to find time to spend with God. God understands you got stuff to do. So the child was obedient from the very foundation of life. And out of that, his obedience was humility. And out of that, we have humility that got to the place where God has ordained certain things that we don't have to fall into it. And it is by that childlike strength that gets us over. It gets us over. See, that's when your failures becomes your wins. That's when your setbacks becomes the direction of God. God is setting you back so you won't go the wrong way, so you can walk forward in Him. That's when He has the right to take over through your humility. Not through your arrogance, not through your pride, not through your self-righteousness, not through you thinking that you know everything. You know, like I say, when we keep thinking we all such too much, it's a problem. It's a problem. And so, look at 3. It says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers. This is what David is saying. When I consider the heavens, when I think about the heavens, Lord, and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art so mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? See? He said, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Every man that God created has been crowned with glory and with honor. Why is he saying that? Because he put glory and honor on you and put that as your crown so that you will freely be able to give him honor. So that when serving him, you will freely be able to give him glory. Because that's the whole purpose you were created. See? There ought to be a free flow of giving him honor. Free flow of giving him glory. Notice my hands is going around. I know y'all can't see it on the video, on the recording, but my hands is going around in a circle and it's coming back to me because that's what happened. As the blessings go up, as the praises go up, the blessings come down. As the glory goes up, the praises come down. Everything goes down. It is all about you giving up to him that you can receive here on earth. It's all about that. And we miss that. We miss that. We need to get back in line with that. He goes on to say in 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Look, all the sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. He has given you dominion, control over all these things. Look at where he took you back. He started from the beginning saying, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And at the end of this, he's saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Why is that? He took you right back to Genesis, where he gave you dominion over the fish, dominion over the sea, dominion over the earth, dominion over the things. And isn't it amazing that we get caught up into the earth so much that we allow the enemy to use the earth to have dominion over us? See? We allow plants. Cocaine is a plant. People that smoke it, the devil has dominion over their life. You hear what I'm saying? They're making fentanyl from chemicals. From the earth. See? And once you ingest it, the devil has dominion over your life. The devil is not coming to you saying, give me your dominion. He's saying, take some of this. And I'll take your dominion. He's just sliding it to you by giving us the allure and the trap. But you won't have that problem if you humble yourself like a little child and give God the glory so that the blessing can come down. Give God the glory so that the blessing can come down. That is the whole duty of man. I think Solomon said it best when he was writing in the Ecclesiastes. All is vanity. It's useless. Everything is useless. All that you do, you bust your behind to work all day just to afford a house and afford a family. And at the end of it, you just die. And most people die broke. So what was the benefit of it? Nothing. It's useless that man even had to work from the beginning. But because of the disobedience in the garden, now man has to work. But that was not the way it was when God created man to give him glory.
That's right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you have to see that. What does it matter to get a car, a brand new car, and then 5 years later, you got to get another brand new car? It's these are vicious cycles that we have set up in our lives. Now, I'm not telling people to don't take care of their family. I'm not telling people to don't get a car. You need a car in this land of milk and honey. You need, yes, you do. But I'm not telling you to not do that. What I'm saying to you is that you can't put your hope, you can't put your desire, you can't put your faith in these things. Because when you die, you can take none of it with you. And so it's all going to be useless. It's all vain. It's all vanity. Like he said, it is vanities of vanities. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time to smile. There's a time to cry. There's a time for this. There's a time for that. And it's all useless up under the sun. At the end of that, he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of mankind. That is our whole duty. Your duty is to give God glory. God is not concerned about basketball. He's not concerned about football. He's not concerned about anything that we do. He's not concerned about your job. He's not concerned about none of it. All of that is useless to him. But now, if you give him glory on your job, then he's concerned about your job. If you give him glory while you're playing basketball, then he's concerned about basketball. If you give him glory while you're doing these things, then he's concerned about everything you're concerned about because you're giving him glory. That's why you were created.
Amen.
You get to enjoy all the things on this earth, all the things that's available, that is of right substance, as long as you're giving the glory to God. See? And then he is concerned about it just like you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Lord God, I ask that in the name of Jesus, that these words would resonate into the heart of those that would listen, and that it would give them a premise, an ideology, an understanding of what it is and why it is they were created. God is not against anything that we have designed to do as long as it is not harming yourself and harming other people. He is not against that. But if you bring him into the equation, then you will flourish right where you stand. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, God. I thank you for this message. Amen.
Amen.
But you know we good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon, and it work. It don't matter what they say. get them at the front alert. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend, cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out, stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow, so pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
What you can do, cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees, embrace the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors, and yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire, and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though you're begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow. For peace in heaven and hell on earth, that's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit. Death. You better think about it when you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last.